Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this now April the 9th on the West Coast, April the 10th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com as well. And I want to personally thank all the wonderful people who sent in email and chat messages during last night's tremendous expose on military murder and corruption in Iraq. We played some clips, well, a long clip regarding an assault on some civilians, which was obtained through a Freedom of Information Act. And shocking as it was, we have to present the truth as we know it. We're going to keep doing that tonight. I have special thanks also extended to Drew Raines, who participated in last night's show. He did a great job dealing with a very difficult topic, and it seemed that the listening audience supported us 100%, with one exception. There was a young lady who was concerned that we weren't talking about asteroids, and she got a suggestion from another chat participant on where she could put her head to view some asteroids. So I'll leave it at that. We have a sense of humor even out there in the chat rooms, and I really love it. Well, some breaking news here, and this goes out to anyone listening in through a Patriot network, militia units, we could say resistors to the tyranny that we're experiencing right now, gun rights groups, Tea Party members, and any other individuals who are concerned. I received this notice, and like many other talk show hosts, we're advising each other of this particular story. I myself was a targeted victim of defamation and slander and libel by one James Stachowiak, also known as James Stack, from the American Resistance Movement and Freedom Fighter radio show some months ago, and I instantly knew that this individual was a disinformation agent working for the government, and he's been exposed by others as such. So I put this message out, just like I did when he was calling my network and calling other radio shows, threatening to sue me. And I invited him on this show. Many of my listening audience heard me invite him to sue me. And he hasn't, of course. And he's been outed as being on the government payroll. He's also an admitted communist. According to the email I got, there is a mountain of evidence that people have gathered to show why this individual is to be avoided at all costs. It says here that he's an alleged former police officer who was disgraced for charges related to a minor, yet for those charges he served no jail time, and anyone else charged with a similar charge would be labeled forever a sexual predator, and likely, in some cases, one would do jail time. He is a documented member of the Communist Party, USA, as well as a pro-Soviet propagandist, according to the email that I was sent. I would have to trust, just on the basis of how I was treated on Pastor James David Manning's show one afternoon, that this is all true. In fact, it took me no longer than 5 minutes to call back with information on who this guy was. That good is my intelligence. So for those out there that are going to throw these operatives our way, we're well-armed and well-prepared to deal with the consequences. Trust me on that. We do have discernment, and we do have God's protection as well. That said, I would also like to pass on a message about a new story posted at worldreports.org and on my website, directlightproductions.com, under news. The title of the article, written by Christopher Story, is called All UK Legislation Passed Since 2000 is Null and Void. And he's basing this accusation on the fact that the peer-specific bills needed to rewrite some 900 hereditary laws that have been created illegally, unconstitutionally, according to parliamentary procedures. England itself is going through a coup much like what we're experiencing here in the United States. And we have the gloves off, and we're going to talk about it and call it what it is. I encourage you to read the article. Again, it's entitled All UK Legislation Passed Since 2000 is Null and Void. And I've read this article, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm not totally familiar with British law, and yet Mr. Story makes it quite clear what happened. And it's basically a similar coup that we've experienced under successive administrations, and we could really go back all the way to FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in 1933, and even further back to the year 1913, when they began the Federal Reserve in this country. So that's a topic for another evening, but I wanted to alert you to the fact that you should read this article. I've been saying the same thing about the laws that have been created by infiltrators, non-Americans who posed as Americans and sat in the White House as president of the United States illegally. Those laws should be stricken from the books and really just flushed down the toilet, and we start over anew. With that, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. We're going to talk about some science, some things going on with planet Earth and other realms in space. And he is my weekly Friday night guest. He's been a weekly guest since Evident Footprints began almost 3 years ago. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, world-renowned, and he is our resident science advisor, as I like to affectionately call him, my good friend, and hopefully yours, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, Don. How are you this evening?
Well, can you tell?
Yeah, you sound supercharged, but I felt
I am.
You should say it yourself.
I'm supercharged. I'm supercharged tonight. Lots to deal with. I'll tell you, Jim, I have no more tolerance and patience for the corruption that's going on. And certainly I applaud Mr. Story's work. The whole world is applauding his work right now. And for those that don't think we have financial problems in our national economy or in our world economy, you'd certainly change your mind if you'd read some of the things that he's written. And it's been a very productive day for me, research-wise, I should say. So I'm quite pleased with my work today. How about you, Jim?
Well, I haven't read the latest chapter, as we should call it, on the unfolding issues with Mr. Story. However, I have read many, many, many of his previous reports. I have to agree with you. Not only are his reports informative and accurate, but also he has an ongoing service and did have, even before all this trouble began, you know, which has also been very accurate and helpful to many people throughout the world. I think a lot of Mr. Story. I read his stuff regularly.
Yes. Well, I can tell you one thing, Jim, that Wantagate and its occurrence, we're talking about this destruction of the former Soviet Union financially and the extraction of the rubles and the wealth of the Soviet Union, was payback for our previously unknown participation with the Soviets in World War II, beginning January 1st of 1942, when the UN actually was created. The United States is the first country named in a declaration of some countries that were put together, and unbeknownst to the American people, we financed the Soviet Union's participation in World War II. And we had never been repaid for that. And that is the reason why Wantagate occurred. They wanted the money back. And then they did this in concert with the Soviets. And now we're witnessing a Soviet coup of our government. That's the simplest way I can put it. Anyone who's really looked at it will agree with me. We've got a guy in the White House that won't admit who he is or where he's from. Certainly he's not an American. But then we've had a whole string of others who were not Americans. They were not who they claimed to be. And that's something that we have to face. Regardless of how inconvenient it is, we must face that. And many of the other lies that are being told about what's going on in the world. And I brought a particular article to your attention earlier this week, and I know you had a chance to go over it. And although the article, which is by Boyd Bushman, is somewhat in need of some editing and grammatical corrections, the gist of the information comes through. And he's referring to a magnetic hole that's growing over the ocean near the coast of Brazil.
Yeah, I read the article. It's pretty interesting. Unfortunately, it's a little bit scattered in the sense that he jumps around to try to cover a lot of different facets of this situation and related situations. But the interesting thing is that I agree with most of what he's saying because I'm already familiar with a lot of it. But starting with the magnetic hole situation, it's really kind of interesting because, you know, you would sort of say to yourself, well, what the heck is a magnetic hole, you know? Well, if you think about it, the Earth is kind of blanketed with a magnetic field. And it's a very interesting kind of magnetic field because unlike the ones that are studied in laboratories and such, which are confined to a magnetic circuit, which is usually made of steel of some sort, this magnetic field appears to originate in the core of the planet and then burst out at the poles and seeks a return or a closure upon itself through the air and other parts of our atmosphere. And in doing so, it kind of creates a shroud around the entire planet. Now, the interesting thing is that in order to create a hole in a magnetic field, which you can do rather easily, by the way, under controlled conditions, what it really amounts to is a change in the permeability of the magnetic or the carrying substance. It doesn't even have to be magnetic in a true sense. The substance that the magnetic field travels through. If it underwent a change in its permeability, which was severe enough, the flux lines would avoid that area. And in avoiding the area, you know, they would go around that and thereby create a hole, in a sense, an absence of magnetism. Now, the interesting thing is you can do this on a laboratory bench, so to speak, by the introduction of a substance, you know, that has a negative permeability or a permeability that's opposite to what the rest of the circuit that you're playing with might have. Like, for instance, normally we would use a steel or an iron of some sort. Those are paramagnetic. And flux lines will go out of their way to get into that material because traveling through it is an easier route than it would be for them to stay outside of it. However, if you introduce a diamagnetic material, I believe bismuth is one, flux lines will go out of their way to avoid that area. They will actually go around it, even though they have to go through a longer path to do that. And this is a very interesting phenomenon to study. But here we have an unusual aspect that seems to be related to that, in which you've got an area or a region in space, or perhaps in our upper atmosphere, which the magnetic lines created by our planet are going out of their way to avoid, thus creating a hole. Well, that's a very intriguing phenomenon because you have to stop and think, what the heck can be happening in that region that would cause the flux lines to bend around it? But before we get into the possibilities of what that might mean, we should at least give some attention to the ramifications of this situation. The magnetic field around the planet happens to perform a very useful task in our everyday life, and that is that the highly charged, high-velocity particles, known as the solar wind, coming from the sun, have enough energy to do a lot of damage, particularly to biological structures here on Earth. And when they hit the magnetic field, what happens is they are deflected or otherwise redirected so that they do not reach the surface of the planet with a flux density of their own or population density that is high enough to cause biological mutations or, in some cases, even outright death of living things. So it's very interesting that it works this way because when you stop and think about it, there are no accidents. This shielding effect is there for a reason. Now, the fact that there's a hole appearing in this could be, I'm not an alarmist, so I'm going to say could be, you know, something to be very concerned about, especially if it gets really large. You know, right now it's kind of off the coast of Brazil somewhere, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, that's what was explained in the piece. I haven't measured this or come across any means through which to do that. Although there is a website as far as the source of the article, and I suppose there might be some links that lead one to those things. But I've had my own experiences, and he's not just talking about the magnetic field, but he's going into what is behind this. What is the purpose of disclosing this? And he refers to Project Preserve Destiny. And I suppose he's also referring to the writings of Dan Sherman, who actually disclosed quite a bit of information about an alien presence on, in, and under the surface of this planet.
Yeah, he goes into that in the next section of this article.
I didn't mean to change the topic. I'm not skirting your question.
It's not a problem. I mean, it's all related anyway. But, you know, he jumps around in a way that makes it difficult to follow. it almost gives you the impression he wanted to say so much that he wasn't sure how to present it. Because he then jumps to the point where he's talking about artifacts that have been found in, as he refers to it, cities under the surface of the earth. Now, it's not real clear whether that means normal archaeological digs of some sort, or whether it means literal functional cities that have been encountered, perhaps by the military or the government or somebody, underneath the crust of the earth. He's not real explicit on that. But he does say that some of the things that are going on this planet are directly related to technologies which have been found in some of these ancient cities, whatever that may mean. And the other thing, though, that's interesting, he talks about the fact that some of these phenomena that we're experiencing, and he references global warming several times, he says, is also occurring on all the other planets in our solar system. And that here on Earth, it's being played up as having been the result of man's activities. Which, of course, if that was the case, it would not explain why it's happening elsewhere. But they don't tell you about those other things, even if they know about it. And he alludes to the fact that that's part of a conspiracy.
Yes, of course. And you and I have talked about this topic on other shows, too. I've explicitly stated that I know that the whole solar system, even the galaxy, is basically heating up. That the frequencies of energy that are coming through the what you and I have referred to as this grid, this universal grid that permeates all of creation, is moving up to a higher frequency. And these beings can't cope with it. They have been totally devoted to driving the frequency downward to prevent us from elevating our consciousness and tapping into who we really are. This is their big fear, is that we will wake up before they have taken complete control. And they may feel at some right now that they do have complete control, but they don't. The very fact that we're talking about this is proof that they don't have complete control, or that we could even contemplate this. So, you know, it's a very immature, childish view on their part, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they have a lot of childish views. I mean, you know, frankly, the idea of completely enslaving a world is such a childish view that it's ridiculous in the first place. When you stop and think of all of the different tyrants that we know about just in recorded history who have tried this in one way or another, including outright military takeover, even when they look like they're succeeding, they never do.
Mm-hmm.
After all, who wants to be subjugated? You know, it's ridiculous.
There's an irony too, Jim, and that's history has written that anyone who ever tried to do that was deemed to be insane. Have they not been? I mean, you know, Hitler was described as a madman. Genghis Khan was described as a madman. It doesn't matter what name from history, what Stalin or Lenin, these are all evil beings. Marx, on and on. So why shouldn't these guys be mad? In fact, they are. We're seeing it in real time.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, I actually admired some of the exploits of Alexander the Great. But considering what he accomplished, I mean, if you look at it as an accomplishment, and he was such a young man at the time, I forget his exact age, 30-something.
I think he died at 32, yeah.
Yeah, and he wept when there was nothing left to conquer. What the heck kind of an attitude is that? Well, he was a little bit unhinged, and yet, you know... he almost made it. But the thing that's interesting is it didn't stand, and that's the point. You know, why is it that these very people who are always expounding this type of activity throughout history, they themselves don't learn from it?
I mean, it's because they're basically puppets, Jim, and they're doing the bidding of someone else.
Well, of course. And the interesting thing is that someone else never gives up trying this same mindless game over and over again. Now, the interesting thing in our time is the fact that it has been done in a much more subtle fashion over a fairly extended period of time, probably with the hope and realization that each successive generation falls more deeply into the trap without even realizing what they're involved with until they get to the point where, you know, people just would accept, you know, the tyranny that was imposed upon them. It kind of reminds me, when I was in high school, we had a really interesting philosophy that we used to joke about. There was a guy I knew that was so completely fanatical about owning his own 70-millimeter film projector. And in the school I went to, they had two of them, and they used to show films on every Sunday night. And he was jokingly suggesting stealing one of these projectors for his own use. But the interesting thing was, he wasn't just going to go in and unbolt it from the floor and take it home, because that would be obvious. So he said, no, that's not how you do it. He said, you sneak in and you steal one tiny little part, and then you wait a really long time, and when the projectionist notices that, they'll say, well, it was probably always missing. And then a little while later, you come back and you steal another little tiny part, and you wait a very long time, and the projectionist will say, well, it was probably always like that. And you continue this process until there is no camera anymore. And then the projectionist says, well, I only had one. I never had two. And so that's exactly the kind of thing that's been going on. They make these little tiny changes over long periods of time and get the rest of the world adjusted to the situation. And then each successive generation says, it was always like that. And it wasn't.
Yes. Well, right now they've gotten rather impatient. I think you would agree, and they're ramping up everything. And really, every time it's done, it's done in violation of the very laws they create, and certainly in disregard to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Not that I want to beat that drum to death; it's already been beaten to death. But it wouldn't matter what we were following. If you want to say God's laws, you know, this has become a lawless society. And they're outright criminals. That's the one thing that the average individual cannot see. Or they just say, well, it's always been that way. Like you just said, it's always been that way. So why change it?
Well, the irony of it is thing hasn't always been that way, and you don't have to look back that far to see the enormous changes. I mean, just since I was a kid, which is, you know, 50-something years ago, I can notice the changes. But that's the other half of the deal. In order for this type of slow, calculated changing to have the effect that they want, part two of the formula is you have to do something, sleight of hand type of thing, to defocus the attention off of this particular thing onto something else so that they don't even notice these changes and they just don't focus on them. Because anybody that is really following what's going on in this country with focused interest is never going to be hoodwinked by it because it's too blatant. And as you say now, the fact that they're accelerating this program, anytime that you accelerate something of this complexity, there are bound to be screw-ups, and there are bound to be results that you didn't anticipate. I mean, that's just the law of nature.
Yeah.
And it's starting to crack, you know, it's starting to, their intentions are starting to ooze out through the woodwork.
Well, we're revealing the truth about what has been happening and what is happening now. And this is the reason why they're ramping up the speed and the frequency of what they're doing. Actually, it's a lower frequency. You know, that's sort of a misnomer. But what I'm saying is it's obvious to us that more and more of the truth is coming out. How do you undo the truth coming out when it sinks into the consciousness of the American people, or for that matter, anyone throughout the world? There's quite a bit of unrest going on right now around the world. Is that because of a magnetic hole over the ocean near Brazil, or is that because people are fed up with being lied to and cheated? And they're not just insulted, they're disgusted with the atrocities that have been committed for thousands of years. People are seeing it. Not everyone, no, but it never was everyone that participated in any kind of revolution or movement to recreate what is going on here. And you know, they want to tell us that what they're doing is right. They're absolutely convinced that they're right, that it's okay to murder people. It's just okay because we have to reduce the population. Therefore, there's justification in murdering people. Or to withhold science because they haven't figured out how they're going to make money from free energy. See, they can't figure out how to attach a meter to it. So therefore, the people shouldn't have it. The people shouldn't benefit from those things that they are privileged to have for whatever reason. You know? Oh, I don't even want to say what's on my mind right now, Jim, but certainly comment on that if you would.
Well, actually, you know, what you just hit upon in your closing statement, the idea of suppressing energy technologies, and for that matter, a whole host of other technologies. Let's face it, there have been medical breakthroughs by the scores just in the past 50 years, never mind previously. And none of that has ever made it into the mainstream, except for the stuff that they could capitalize on. I mean, cancer has been understood thoroughly, investigated by many, many brilliant people, and a whole host of cures and preventive measures, too, I might add, have all been suggested. And what is the response? Persecution of the discoverers. Wilhelm Reich was murdered over that. Royal Rife was murdered over that. Lukovsky was—he wasn't murdered, but he was villainized over that. More recently, Naissance, Gaston Naissance, up in Canada, was given a really rough time by the Canadian government. Because he had the audacity to cure people, heaven forbid. And, you know, this has been going on forever. It's not just the free energy people. It's anything that's beneficial to the life and welfare of man that is essentially attacked.
Yes. I'm soon going to have a doctor on who has a very simple cure for cancer. And I did say cure for cancer. Okay, he's cured people from every type of cancer that exists. They put this man in prison for 3 years because he was curing people of cancer. Can you imagine that? Of course he can, because they've done it to others. They've murdered them. Okay, but this madness, this insanity has to stop. And rather than demand that they stop, let's just create a new reality. This game is over. It really is. They've already fallen. I've said this before. And you know, and it's probably the collapse of their elite Illuminati empire that caused the magnetic hole over the over the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, that's certainly a possibility, but you know, your previous remark is really intense about let's create a new reality. I have been talking with people who are already doing that. They are so disgusted with everything, they say, screw this. This is not life. This is something else, and we don't want a part of it anymore. And they've gone off into various areas. They've completely formed settlements, and they are using their own means of collateral and exchange, and they're avoiding everything. Anything and everything that's pushed by the establishment, they find a way around it. And I say God bless them. And that we ought to start doing that with everything, because you know why? Money is the bloodline of the monster.
Yes. Now, are those people that you just referred to happy, Jim?
Well, they're happier in the sense that, you know, we as a species are kind of interesting when you get down to it, because I know for myself, I would rather fail miserably doing what I want to do, you know, than to have a collar around my neck and be tossed a bone every once in a while by the idiot that's holding the leash. That's just the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so are they happier? Well, they're having a rough time, but they're free or freer. And that's the whole point. Nobody wants to be dominated. Nobody asked for this nonsense. This is something that was decided by a whole slew of pinheads that thought that they're going to take over everything and do it their way. And so, you know, they went about it in stealth. And that's another thing that tells you about the character. Nobody came out, at least Alexander the Great did it openly. He said, by God, there's a whole world out there, I'm going to take it. And he raised an army and he just conquered everybody one at a time. But that's not how these guys operate. They sneak around in dark corners and murder people quietly and change this and change that and bribe people. And they do everything in an icky kind of way. You know, like they're really gutless at heart. Just gutless slugs. And that's how they function. And it's only because they stay in the shadows that they have managed to get this far. Now that it's coming out, they realize that they are not creatures that are designed to live in light, because they can't cope with any form of truth. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why this is beginning to come to light all over the place.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with you. I would suggest that those that you mentioned who are, you know, taking their own path, making their own path, or creating their own path, are happier because they are, despite the difficulties that they might incur, are more fulfilled because they are following a path of self-determination. They
Absolutely.
Make their own decisions.
That's why I said I would rather fail my own way, you know, than be forced to do something somebody else's way. At least
yeah.
I'm making the decisions.
Yes. Now, we moved off on a tangent, but that's fine. We even agreed beforehand that we might do that. And certainly it applies to what we were talking about. Now, regardless of what is causing this magnetic hole or this magnetic void, and if that's true, if that's accurate, that that's happening, we could say that that might be because of what's happening to the sun as well.
Because the sun, the I have always held the opinion instinctively, and of course I could be wrong, but intuitively, I've always held the opinion that the sun's magnetic field, or the energy from the sun, perhaps in a higher form, is responsible for the magnetic field on all the planets. And it appears to us here, who are earthbound, that the planet itself is creating the magnetic field. But I've spent an enormous amount of time doing research in magnetics, and I can tell you that there's an alternative possibility, and that is that, as I was mentioning before, you have ferromagnetism, which is actually a form of paramagnetic behavior, and then you have diamagnetism, which is an expression of diamagnetic behavior. If you have flux traveling through space, and all of a sudden it encounters an object that has a higher permeability than the surrounding space does, those flux lines are just going to impinge upon that target in order to create a better path for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's what's happening on our planet, for instance, and the true origin of the magnetic field here is caused by the sun as the primary effect and our core geometry of our planet as the secondary effect, to earthbound observers, it would appear that the planet is the source of this rather than the recipient of this. So if we look at it from that point of view, then the interesting thing is that changes in the literal source could also bring about changes here on the planet, which we perceive as anomalies.
Well, the United Galactic Federation says that the poles on the, let's say the, if you want to call it the flux, for lack of a better term, the poles on the sun have shifted, and that flux is moving in the opposite direction.
Well, that's kind of what I just said. If we,
yes,
if you, if the sun is the true source of this energy, then if there is a change that's occurring there, where the average individual is not going to even suspect, never mind be able to measure, then there's bound to be ramifications of it down here.
Yes. Now, the two large bodies, and I think I referred to this with you on a show. I know I did on a couple of other shows, maybe with Dr. Mike Castle and Truat. The two objects that have been seen with regular 8-inch telescopes now, sort of orbiting around the sun, in opposite sides of the sun at all times. In other words, they're following a parallel path 180 degrees apart on each side of the sun. My interpretation is that they are mitigating or modulating intensive bursts of this energy that would come and strike the planets in our solar system. So they're basically modulating that energy. And these are craft. They have been identified as craft. I've estimated, just off the cuff, without really giving it a whole lot of thought, that they're at least 1,000 miles wide, and I was told that they're 1,150 miles wide. They've been calculated to be that size, again, by the UGF. So that is what is going on there. There's no rogue planet flying around the sun, and there is no planet X that's going to come by. They would use any excuse, including the wind blowing off the Pope's hat as an excuse for 300-mile-an-hour winds. And I did mean it that way, too. So that is occurring. And that's where this piece is significant, because this man Boyd Bushman is actually pretty much on target. I don't agree with possessive form of plural nouns and vice versa on possessive nouns, the lack of the apostrophe, but the essence of what he's written, I think, is pretty accurate. And yes, he jumps around a little bit, but he talks about this issue of Project Preserve Destiny. And this is basically the concept of reducing the world's population for the benefit of aliens who have been here for thousands of years, and in their attempt to just take over this planet. Jim, this has been tried thousands of years ago on several occasions.
Well, by, sure, but now the stage is reset, you know, so they figure, oh, what the heck, we'll try it again.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying by other off-planet beings who have been here and basically been driven out. Now, who drove them out is to be speculated somewhat, although I would trust that the universe has a way of doing these things on her own, that there are certain laws that cannot be broken, and the repeated violation of universal law is not tolerated. And I think we're approaching a time right now, we're in that time where that's changing, and they know it. And this is where their fear is. We're dealing with beings that, is, despite their demonstration of being extra elite and privileged and having these superpowers, they're quite fearful beings. And that's the only thing they know how to project onto us, is their own fear. And so great is their fear that they have to have others do their bidding, which is really the sign of a coward, if you ask me.
Absolutely. That's what I meant by sneaking around, you know, in the shadows. And don't just come right out and do anything in the open, because they know what would happen.
Yes. Well,
but, you know, getting back to the other part of this gentleman's presentation,
sure.
He does mention that some of these higher order energy sources that have supposedly been encountered in these underground cities and whatnot, and he refers to them as hyperconductivity quantum devices. Well, I could be mistaken in this, but this is exactly what Tesla was talking about. These machines that he was building on the surface of the planet 100 years ago were essentially hyper-efficient devices, and they made use of wave geometries, which essentially compensate for electrical losses that we normally have to contend with. And in doing that, he engendered a situation, and I might add maintained a situation, in which, for all intents and purposes, you had such a high degree of overall efficiency that, for all intents and purposes, you might as well refer to it as a kind of free energy, because you're getting so much for so little that you're operating in an octave that's beyond present-day comprehension. And that's exactly the kind of thing that myself and other people have been laboring to reproduce. So the fact that he mentions this and talks about a previous civilization having had this kind of stuff, and that it was actually discovered in some kind of underground place where it was recognized for what it was and apparently usurped by whoever discovered it. That brings us to another interesting situation. You know, that the very thing that they're trying to suppress in the general consciousness of the populace, they may have already put to use for their own benefit, like they do everything else. So the very people that are frowning upon the existence of so-called free energy apparently already have free energy and use it for their own purposes. But as usual, the rest of the world isn't allowed to know that.
Now, Jim, there was a recent disclosure that the densest element in the known universe has been found. Have you heard about that?
Actually, no, I have not heard about that. But what is the densest element in the known universe?
Okay, I'm going to read this straight from a sheet that was sent to me. It's called Pelosium. A major research institution has just announced the discovery of the densest element yet known to science. The new element has been named Pelosium. Pelosium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 224 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 311. These particles are held together by dark forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. The symbol of Pelosium is PU. Pelosium's mass actually increases over time as morons randomly interact with various elements in the atmosphere and become assistant deputy neutrons within the Pelosium molecule, leading to the formation of isotopes. This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that Pelosium is formed whenever morons reach a certain quantity in concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as critical morass. When catalyzed with money, Pelosium activates CNN ad nauseum, an element that radiates orders of magnitude more energy, albeit as incoherent noise, since it has half as many pions but twice as many morons as Pelosium. I thought you might appreciate that.
I certainly do. Where did you ever get that thing?
It was sent to me by one of my listeners and readers.
Oh, if you don't mind, I would really love it if you could email me that. I think that's super. I'll put that up on my office wall.
Okay. And it comes with the picture.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. I mean, this is such a rare element. Naturally, a picture of it would just frame out the whole thing.
Oh, Pelosium.
Well, now, see, there would be a really worthwhile target for the Super Collider.
Exactly. Well, they may be using that with the Super Collider. You never know.
Well, you know, it's been built by morons, so you never know. It may eventually be turned to that purpose.
Oh. And that, you know, the timing was immaculate, I thought, as well. You opened that door without any hint that I wanted to read that on the show tonight, so.
No, I didn't know, but I think it had a really good effect, at least on me. Whoever wrote that is interesting, too, because he obviously has some appreciation for atomic structure, and he's just substituted the right words to bring out the essence of the technology. It's really interesting.
Well, in trying to return back to this topic now, there's quite a bit. There's a mention of sacred geometry, and you and I have discussed that on some past shows when we talked about the pyramids, for example, or other structures, and he makes a designation that the center is round, whereas the outer edges of these geometric structures might be hexagonal, for example. That this has something to do with the manner in which these hyperconducting or hyper-quantum technologies are used. Do you suppose that there is an admission of, let's say, more ethereal types of energy that can be harnessed?
Well, let's put it this way. The inference may look that way, and it could also be interpreted that way, but I honestly think that what it means is exactly what Victor Schoberger said 90-some-odd years ago. And that is that ordinary fluids moving in extraordinary circumstances produce results that are beyond reason. And Hez's exemplification of that came when he was designing these log flues over in Germany that were so incredibly efficient that they transported logs over distances that nobody could even imagine, with a tiny amount of water and a great amount of efficiency. And what he eventually did was he understood these laws to such an extent that he condensed them into the production of a geometric shape. And that shape was a very special kind of spiral, at least on the inside. And it could have any number of possible shapes on the outside. Mm-hmm. And when a fluid was put through this type of geometry, the result was a performance that eclipsed anything that was previously known. Now, I admit that when you start doing similar things, once you become conscious of a particular mechanism, you may start with water, like he did, for instance, and then you say, oh my gosh, now that I understand this, I can play this game, let's say, with magnetic flux or with electricity or with charged particles. And each time you do that, you find a slightly different application of the basic principle or the basic law, but its variant is only to accommodate the fact that you have changed to another medium of expression. And so what happens is you get sort of sucked into this vortex of new knowledge, and you find yourself in an area or in a vista that is so pregnant with possibilities for other technologies that you almost become overwhelmed. This is certainly what happened to Tesla. You know, he started off with some very modest investigations in alternating current frequencies, and look where it brought him after a lifetime of tinkering around. The same thing has happened in my work. I actually started off years ago doing things completely mechanical, and not only did I get sucked into this vortex of information, which eventually led to electrical and mechanical, electromechanical and electrical phenomenon, but now I'm looking at things from the standpoint of pure mathematics, and trying to describe reality in a different way. And the thing that's interesting about that is it brings you right back to this concept of sacred geometry. You just wind up with this big closed circuit, and you realize, hey, this has all been here all the time. So what's the variable? And the variable is your consciousness.
Yes.
That's a really, really important concept to grasp.
You and I have had some private discussions, Jim, regarding your views on mathematics and my views on music. And we also see correlations there, too, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I think that music, and frankly, I've always envied your deep understanding of music, because one of the things I have always wanted to do in my own life is to apply the laws of music, which include, you know, all this harmonic organization and all the other things that you've talked about. I'd like to be able to apply that to a physical arrangement or to a physical expression and create a new type of architecture, because I believe that that was done in the past. And that's the reason why when you look at some of these temples and some of these other structures that were so painstakingly built in the past, you gasp when you look at their beauty, because it does something to you inside when you perceive them, the same way that an orchestral piece of music does when you hear it. So this is like the equivalent of that for the eyes, and to me that's just a really, really intensely attractive thing, which I wish I knew more about.
Mm-hmm. Well, one correlation I can make, which you would probably understand and most likely agree with, is that the universe abides by the same laws in music related to mathematics and the other sciences, just like the scientific laws abide in music. And the creation has music in it. You've heard of the phrase, the music of the spheres.
Oh, sure.
You know, the earth has her own frequency, and that's disputed by many. It's probably constantly changing, actually. I don't think it would stay dormant or the earth would cease to exist, but it's been measured anywhere from 7.84 hertz up to 8 hertz, give or take a few hundredths. And that is a frequency that resonates with us. What the powers that be do is capture frequencies that they know are dissonant with those, and they subject us in our consciousness and in our subconsciousness to all these different types of frequency control, which are unnatural. They're not found naturally in the creation. Take, for example, the sound of a siren. Any kind of siren. I don't care if it's on a moving vehicle or if it's mounted on the side of a building. It's an obnoxious sound. Or the horn at a basketball game. Or the blow horn, the gas horn that they use at a football game. Or the ticking of a clock. Or the sound of certain types of industrial machinery. Certainly the sound that a machine gun makes. These are unnatural sounds, and they're destructive. In fact, many of them are associated with destructive devices, which attack us on the physical level and on a metaphysical level, beyond the normal five senses that they teach us that we have. We actually have many more than five senses, and that the universe can operate under these rules. It's been created like an orchestral piece. And the pitches can change, and the tempos can change, and certainly the moments where, the pulses where each instrument play is similar to the course that these planets follow as they move throughout space. But there's always some sort of organization. And you have the occasional cymbal crash or other percussive dissonance that comes about when a meteorite strikes or an asteroid passes by, or there's some man-made catastrophe that occurred. I'm always lied about, always explained away as some other phenomenon, because they don't dare tell us the truth. We might wake up and figure out what's going on. So,
in that same vein, I would like to propose something, and that is that since the entire universe seems to have a dichotomy associated with it, which we at the very fundamental level like to refer to as good and evil, light and dark, all those type of comparisons, it would almost seem unnatural if there wasn't a group somewhere on this planet that was attempting to function in a very positive way for the betterment of mankind and the return of this planet to the destiny that was created for it by God.
Mm-hmm.
If such a group didn't exist somewhere, I would be very disappointed, because it would seem to me that the symmetry of the universe would have been fractured, and that would certainly make this planet home of the freaks.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, I would submit that there are many of those groups around, and many of them are listening to the show tonight, Jim.
I hope so.
Just for confirmation. So, Jim, we're about out of time, but I was wondering if you wanted to make a closing remark, as you usually do so gracefully at the end of each show.
Well, I can take a stab at it. I think the thing that sticks out in my mind the most about everything we've talked about this evening are the presence of these holes in the magnetic field. I would really like to find out more about what that is. So if anybody that's listening has any additional information about that, you might want to just direct Don's attention to it, and he in turn can direct me. I'm not saying that I would come up with any kind of a solution or a projection about what it means, but the more you know about something, at least the more equipped you are to think about it. And I think that whatever is happening, it's only the beginning stages of it. And if it's making enough of a commotion that people are starting to measure these effects, as is implied in this article, then it's something we should definitely be paying attention to and hopefully understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who has access to something that we have no access to, I would sure like to hear about it.
Yes. Well, I just got a quick flash message from John in Massachusetts, who listens to our show quite regularly. And he says that the Schumann residence is up to 13 hertz right now. I wasn't aware that it was that high, actually, but I trust that John might know what he's talking about. And he's also a musician, by the way, very accomplished musician, and basically presents that information to us to underscore the fact that it's proof that the Earth's frequency is increasing.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because if the Schumann resonance is going up, then it would imply that other frequencies are rising, you know, ones that we may not even be aware of. And that could be a very good thing.
Yeah.
Certainly something is happening as we approach the year 2012.
Yes. Well, I guess my closing comment would be that, and I've said this before, we have to take responsibility in participating in the creation. That's why we came here, all of us, whether we're aware of it or not. We all came here to participate in the experience of life with the intention of moving to a higher reality, to a higher consciousness. And it's not going to be successful if we blindly follow a moronic, or let's say if we use Pelosium, okay, as the fuel. We're not going to get there. So, you know, how we get there is through the heart. Certainly we can do that with music. We can do that through science. We can do that through educating ourselves and going within and tapping into the source. That's how it's done. It's done through the heart. It's not done through the head. And anytime you've had a great feeling about your life, you feel it in your heart. That's where the truth resides. And that's where the answers that everyone is looking for will find them, each in their own way. Once you find those truths, you can then offer that to those that you would cooperate with on this planet. And the spirit of cooperation is not one induced by repressive or threatening means, not through extortion and blackmail and murder, nor through fear, but through the love of God, the love of the creation, the respect for the gift of life, and honoring that in everything that you do. Jim, I want to thank you. Another great show.
Well, thank you, Don. I always love being with you, and hopefully in the coming week we'll find out a little bit more about some of these weird new phenomena, and if we do, I'm sure that it'll become another topic of conversation.
Okay. Be looking for your dissertation on Pelosium as well in your email, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Don. You too.
All right. Good night. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's special guest, as every Friday, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim will be back with us again next week, so be sure to tune in. Next Monday, my special guest will be Dr. A. Chuat, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of interesting topics to talk about, so be sure to tune in. I will be a guest on A Marine's Disquisition with Mr. Drew Raines, heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on blogtalkradio.com. So be sure to tune in to that. And the times are, I'll give the extreme coast. East Coast time, 5 to 7 p.m., and West Coast, 2 to 4 p.m. Of course, he's in the Central time zone. That's 1 hour earlier. Special thanks tonight to Wind Talkers Radio Network and to blogtalkradio.com. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS Radio. And also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. John for his message about the Schumann frequency. And you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.